Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, in a moment. That drainage, again. All right. I have a little problem with the drainage in the throat. Well, some medication I've been taking has kept it kind of running. All right. I'm going to be talking with you this evening from Galatians chapter 4. But first, let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, we come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ before you. And we come, Father, seeking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us the truth of this, your word, and to guide us in all of our ways, Father, opening our hearts and minds to be receptive, to help us to walk stronger and closer with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you for sending him, to send your only son, Father, and send him here to die, to give us life, and to give us life abundant here on this earth. And Father, we thank him because his life wasn't taken from him. He gave it willingly. And then, Father, now we have the Holy Spirit who we thank you for, because he is our comforter. He brings us peace. He brings us strength. He brings us power. And he holds us and keeps us on that pathway of righteousness. Now, Father, be with us as we travel through this word now. We ask all of this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. Now I say it, that the heir, as long as he is a child, differ nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. And because ye are sons, God has set forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if the Son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now be it then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, now turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage. You observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as you are. Ye have not injured me at all. Ye know how, through infirmity of the flesh, I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well, yea. They would exclude you that you might affect them. But it is good to be zealous, affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondsmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondswoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. Answers to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that beareth not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate has many more children than she which has a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit. Even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondswoman and her son, for the son of the bondswoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondswoman, but of the free. And may the Lord add his blessing unto the reading of this his word. And now may the Holy Spirit come forward to bring to you and I a greater understanding of this his word, so that we can walk closer with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in the sweet, precious name of Jesus that we thank God for this. Amen. All right. We all know that from the time on the day of Pentecost to this present day, things has changed. The church should not have changed at all, because regardless of what man says and what man wants to stand up and proclaim, does not make it so. But the Word of God does. And when we don't live by His Word, we're not going to make heaven our home. Now, preaching like this is not pleasing to mankind. That's why it's hard to get people into church, especially one that will preach the Word of God. But I'm not here to please man. I'm here to help man if he will listen to God's Word and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. But you know, Jesus is a lot more than just Savior. Jesus is also the Messiah. He's also our peace. He is also the one that loves us so much that he gave all for us. And one day he's coming back for those that belong to him. You know, we just don't stop and think enough about what the Lord Jesus done, and what the Father done, and what the Holy Spirit is doing yet today. And that is the deity of Almighty God, those three. We don't stop and think just how much the Lord our God, our Heavenly Father, has loved mankind to do the things he's done for us. You know, but what have we done? We've walked away. We built walls. We don't call them walls, but that's what they are, because they divide. And yet God's Word tells us not to build walls to divide mankind. But now we've got a lot of divisions. We don't call them walls. We call them denominations. And they have not continued and kept up with the preaching of God's Word. And just as I was telling you, Brother James, earlier, about the discussion I had with one that's supposed to be well educated, went through seminary. Well, even in our discussion, he called it by its right name, cemetery, because that's what they are. They're cemeteries. Because at one time, all your churches taught the same thing. All your Protestant churches taught the same thing. The only one that taught anything different was the Catholic Church. And they've always been different. We don't stop and think about it. We just let it go on and on and on. Our church has started talking years back about we should not get mixed up in politics. As a Christian, you're not to get mixed up in politics. That's not according to God's word. And God's word tells us what will happen when the wicked rule, and he tells us what will happen when the righteous rule. The righteous can't rule if they don't get into politics, can they? We're told to watch, to share. But we don't do it, do we? You get out here, and that one. Oh, your King James version of the Bible? When was it translated? According to what I was told, by the one I was talking to, one that had been seminary trained and all, claims he's got a Bible that was printed before the King James, told me that the King James didn't come out until 1948. Well, I was born in 1933, and everybody going to church at that time had a King James Version Bible because it was the only one out. You know, they haven't been doing all of this redoing the Bible and making different versions a long way back. It ain't been that long ago. It's all been in my lifetime. But I've got one of the old King James Bibles. I don't know just exactly when it was printed, one I've got. I don't know what year it was printed out. But it tells you right in it that it was taken from the original King James in the language then as it was being translated in 1611. I'm sure a lot of difference between 19 and 48. But this is what is happening in our churches today. And it's not the only thing. And we all need to be working, trying to get people together. Bring them together in unity and all in his church. We're not the only church that's preaching this either. There's not many doing it. We all know that. Because I'll ask you this. How many of you that's within the sound of my voice and y'all know how to get in touch with me. You got my phone number. All of them that's online is hearing this. Got my phone number. And how many of you can actually say that you know a church that is teaching God's word as it is written, instead of taking it, taking 3 and 4 days, and twisting and turning to make it say what they want it to say? You know, we had a great revival hit this country. They wrote a book about it. Some of you may have read it, some of you may not. But it was called In His Steps. Did you ever read it? Well, let me tell you something. You may find it in the library. You go to the library quite a bit. You may find it there. And if you can't, if you ever buy a Christian bookstore, get it. It is well worth reading. That was the greatest revival ever hit this country. And it was started by one man, when you come down to it. And that man was a beggar. It really caused that to come about. He was traveling from place to place. He stopped at a preacher's house that was taking time over a 3-day period to put his sermon together for Sunday. And he knocked on that preacher's door and asked him if he had some work he could do for a meal. Preacher didn't have time to fool with him. Just dismissed him. Well, with his service, Sunday morning, got to church. Church is full. And this preacher had all of the well-to-do people in his church, the mayor and all. In that church. And just as he gets started, I wanted to share this with you. The Holy Spirit wanted to share it with you because he just brought it to me. Anyway, this beggar come walking in the back door. And he let it be known. He come to the front, let him know why he was there, and that he had been to the pastor's house to see if he had some work for him so he could get something to eat. But the pastor was too busy. And he stood there and told him, the things are not as they should be. And he fell forward on the communion table dead. Died right there. The pastor found that he had a daughter and how he could get in touch with her, which he did. But it got him thinking. Got the pastor thinking about what he had done, how he had been doing. We went back Sunday night to church. He told him, he says, I want to know how many of you will make a commitment and a promise with me that for 1 year, we'll make no decision without first asking, what would Jesus do? Answer it as honestly as we can, and then do it regardless of the cost. Well, they all didn't do it, but they was, quite a few of them agreed to do that with him. And they started it. There were several millionaires in that church. One of them ended up giving their million away, doing different things, you know, for different people. No. But all kinds of changes were going on. They run into a revival. And it traveled from that church to the next church and then to the next one until it crossed our whole country throughout the United States. And the changes that it made. And that's what we need today. We need changes made. And we need unity back. Because there's too much going on that is not truth. It's not the Word of God. And just as Four is telling us here, we get into it now, letting us know we've already been into part of it in chapter 3. But here in chapter 4, he says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, different nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. What we need to think about and to remember is that we are no longer just flesh and blood. If you are a child of God, you have got the Godhead living in you. There is nothing impossible for you to do. But you've got to be walking that word. You've got to be living that word. Well, now you're a good one to be up there talking. Look at all that oxygen you got on. That's why I got it on, too. I got it on because I wasn't spending as much time in his word as I was supposed to be spending. But things have changed since then. And one day you're going to see me up here without this. I know it's coming. I just don't know what I've got to learn. What all I've got to learn for that to come about. Because I'm learning something different every day. And he's changing my life every single day. One of these days I'll get a chance maybe to share all of this change with you all. Just as I shared my testimony when he brought me off of my deathbed. Because I am going to share with you this. The doctors have told me that I'll never lose this option as long as I live. But see, they don't know so much. They just think they do. Because they don't know his mind either. Just like that one sent me home to die within 2 days. I'm to die within 2 days. Next morning I was on a ladder painting his house. He knew a whole lot, didn't he? That was 1966. Here we are, 2021, and I'm still going. He's gone. The doctor's gone. Been gone several years now. And I thank God for him. At the time, I needed him. Because at the time, I didn't know the Lord. The Lord wasn't my Savior at that time. And my dad took me to the hospital that day. And he set a tray in my lap. And I held his tray while he cut a hole in my chest and inserted a tube in it. With no anesthesia. That's how near gone I was. He didn't give me nothing for pain or nothing. And I held his tray while he cut a hole in my chest. Put a tube in there. You see, we need these things. And he's told us that we're no different from a servant, though we be Lord of all. But you see, it ain't just flesh that's Lord of all. It's what's in that heart. That's who you are. And that's what's going to be going to heaven. That spirit that's in the heart, where the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ and all living. That's why a lot of times when the Lord talks to you and I, it's not in an audible voice, but we can hear it as plain as if it was. Because we're hearing it in the heart. Have you ever heard him talk to you in the heart? And you can hear it just as plain? And you know his voice. Now, he tells us here, he says, but he is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. We're under tutors and governors. But we become a believer. When we go to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him for forgiveness of our sins, he forgives our sins. We ask him to come into our life. And we start then studying his word and believing in him. We are babes and we are under tutors and governors. The Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ. And an angel or two every now and then. Because you see, Paul's using this because back in that day and time, the young had tutors and governors until they were 25 years of age. Boy, our children today don't stay non-adults that long, do they? You're lucky if you get them to stay until they're 17. And then they think they know more than you do. But also, you see, a tutor was an overseer of that minor personality. In other words, the flesh, the person itself. While the governor was over their possessions and how they could handle them. And that's what we're being warned about here. Even so, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. And we all know that because we all went through that stage. It doesn't matter when you become a believer, but we all went through a stage of just the things of this world was the only thing we were interested in. And usually want the best that the world has to offer. And we didn't need it. We're needing something else. But that's what we're being warned about there. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. You see, Jesus was born under the law. And there again, most don't actually associate him with him actually living under the law. But he did, and he fulfilled the law. In his life, he was circumcised the eighth day. They all think that he came to this earth filled with the Holy Spirit. He did not. He came to this earth as a flesh and blood man, just like you and I. And he walked that way for 30 years. Why? He was being an example, letting you and I know and understand that we can live by the word. He did, and he was letting you and I see that it could be done. He was even baptized under the law because he went and was baptized by John, wasn't he? But you see, that's when his life changed even again. His life now took on change because it was at the time of his baptism that they saw the Holy Spirit come to him in the form of a dove. I know you can remember reading that. You can find it in the four Gospels. But he was 30 years old when he was baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. Yet he walked according to God's word, God's will, and God's way, his Father's will and way, letting us see that we can do it. We just choose not to, because we got something else in the back of our mind. Well, you know, now I don't think it's wrong, and I want that, you know. I've got this old car here, and I don't know how much longer it's going to run. I want a new one, and I want that Mercedes out there. And he may give you a Model A. But if he does, it'll get you where you need to go. Now, most of your preachers today, they don't want cars. They want airplanes. And several of them's got three or four. Now, I can tell you one that's got, I think right now he's got three. I think that's what he said he had. That's Kenneth Copeland. And he named over a few more that's got two or three. Because he brags about flying all the time. Well, I'm not against it. And if he is actually using it and using it for God's work, fine. But where's his heart at? That's the thing. Where is the heart at? Is it in that plane, or is it really in God? And he's just using the plane as a tool. But you see, it's what you hold in your heart that's got control over your life. And we need to be very, very careful. Now, here in verse 9, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Verse 7, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Stop and think, really, what that means for you. That means that you should not have to want for nothing that you need. I ain't talking about what you want, but what you need. We can want a lot of things out here that God won't give us because he wouldn't be good for us. They do more harm than good. He knows that. We don't, but he does. That's why sometimes we'll ask God for something. He don't give it to us. And I've asked him for a few things he wouldn't give me. And I found out later I didn't really need it. And I don't know what it would have done if he'd have gave it to me. See, that's what we call growing. Growing in the Spirit. Because most of us, we will not do the things that God really asks of us to do. Got a lot of traffic going back there today. I want to share something else with you here. What the Spirit does. Because so many of us don't go with that. And really, I probably should talk more about it than I do. But because no one in this ministry is paid, I don't talk about money for finances very often. But we all say, well, you know, I don't have this and I ain't got that. I'm in need. Well, this was another lesson I had to learn. Here I was out here pastoring a church. Wasn't taking no money from the church. I've never taken a payday for preaching. In all the 50 some odd years I've preached, I've never took a payday. Because what God gave me, I couldn't charge him back for. I worked. They always seen that they was work for me and that I was able to do it. Now, but the thing about it is, we'll live from hand to mouth. And we do that a lot of times just over one thing. That's what got to me, is that one thing. I had a family, wife and six kids. I lived from paycheck to paycheck. And then usually didn't have enough to pay all my bills. I'd have to skip one, then the next month skip a different one to pay that one. Until God got a hold of me, really got a hold of me, about paying tithes. Well, no, Pastor, I can't pay tithes. I just don't make enough. Why don't you make enough? Well, I've got this, and I've got that, and I've got this bill, and I got that bill. You can sit down and just figure out all kinds of things and ways. But why is it? It's because you haven't done what God told you to do. That's what I found out. My wife will tell you, my first wife, if she still lives, she'd tell you. My kids can tell you. When the Lord let me know about tithes and paying tithes, I said, well, Lord, I don't take pay. He said, no, and you ain't paying me. What do you mean I ain't paying you? Well, you know you're spending my money. No, Lord, I ain't spending your money. Yeah, you are. You're spending my money. The tenth belongs to me. That ain't even yours. You're spending it. What's God really think about that? Well, let's look at Malachi, chapter 3. You won't have to go there. I'll read it to you, but you can go there later. We'll start with verse 6. It says, for I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. God said, you robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. I started paying my tithes. First couple of months, I missed several bills because I didn't have enough. I started paying my tithes. And it wasn't long after that, I wasn't in debt no more. I was out of debt. I had enough to pay my bills. I didn't have no problem keeping groceries in the house, keeping the things we needed. It's been working ever since. Let me tell you something. I pay my tithes. Every month my check comes in, my tithes go out. And I even pay tithes, actually, I'm going to share this with you, because one of these days, you're allowed to be where I'm at. I even pay tithes with the church money. You say, well, how does that work? Well, I'm going to share it with you, because I do want you to understand. I want to see everybody grow. Because then as people see you grow, they will begin to want what you've got. It makes it a lot easier for you to talk to them. It gets you people to talk to. When they can see the Lord Jesus Christ in you, it makes it a lot easier. He also helps to build the church, his church. Not necessarily this one, but his. Yes, I want to see this one grow too. But I take right now from the church money. I pay the Jewish boys every month. I'm worth paying them $50. Giving them $50 a month. Another organization, Jewish organization, $50 a month. St. Jude's Hospital for Kids, $50 a month. Two Indian orphan schools here in the United States. Navajo, one of them. The other is called St. Lawrence, but I've forgotten now. Crow, I think, from the end. I give each one of them. It's every month. When I came here and took this church, we had $2,000 in the bank. And that's when I started giving church and helping others that I help along the way. You know what we got now in the church fund? You can always ask me, because I don't hide it, but I should, I guess, start making a report every month. I just hadn't. But right now, we've got $10,300 in the bank. After paying all that out, plus helping others here locally. And you all know I do. Just got through helping one with $200. But when we don't use God, when we use God's money and we don't give it to him, he ain't going to bless you. I just read it to you. He said, you're under a curse. I don't preach much about it because I don't ask them. I don't even ask them. If you start paying tithes, I don't ask them to bring it here. Yes, we could use it. I can find a lot of good things to do with it that would maybe even help us grow. But if you want to give it somewhere else or to a different association, as long as you are using his tithes for his work, that's what counts, wherever it goes. Because as you see, the short time we've been here, we went from 2,000 to over 10,000. All because we're using his money for his work and his purpose, and to help others that are in need. Hopefully Sunday. I had told him, I don't think I told you, but Sunday morning I'm hoping to have a couple of singers here. They were actually church members, although I had never started a membership book. But I am going to get one, and we are going to start one, a membership book for this ministry. But Millie and Bobby, God willing, will be here Sunday morning. She's got it rough right now. She's taken her daughter's death very hard. But on top of that, she just got through going through all of that where that young lady pushed her down, broke her arm, hurt her back. You know, she's been getting over that. Now, her daughter died yesterday morning, stage 4 cancer. She was left with all of her daughter's bills because her daughter didn't have no insurance. And now she's having to take care of all of that. So they need your prayers. James, you know her. Because you've met her. And she asks about you every now and then. Nearly does. Wants to know if you're still coming. I told her, I said, yeah, when I can get a hold of her. Then she'll laugh at me. And she'll say, oh, is he coming? Yeah, he comes. And they promised me they would be here Sunday. So I'm hoping they'll get back in church and start coming steady. And they can help bring in a few more. Well, we was up to about 8 or 10. Until they left. See, when people leave the church, it hurts. Now, I think we're going to stop here for this evening. I don't know why the Spirit got me all the way he did, but he did. He knows. There is a lot of things we were brought out that probably somebody is needing. Because he don't do things without a reason. And that sure wasn't what I had in mind. And I was hoping to get through this fourth chapter. And I got through 7 verses. And we're going to stop here and close out this evening. And hopefully we'll finish up Sunday morning. I'm going to take this Sunday and then I want you to take the next one. And then I don't want them to meet you. And then, you know. Now they sing a cappella. They don't even have to have music, neither one of them. Nor her son either. The mother and her son, because he's a young man. But all right, let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for a place and time that we can come and meet and share your word with each other. And be of support one to the other, Father, to help each other to grow and to stand with our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, Father, we ask the Holy Spirit, to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. And Father, Jerusalem, Israel, we pray for peace for them. But even more than that, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. And Father, for this nation of ours, we pray, Father, for those that have brought all this evil upon his people to repent. This whole nation, Father, needs to repent and turn back unto you and to put Jesus back into all the places they've taken him out of. So, Father, and put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, Father, our prayer list, as each name is called, may the Holy Spirit, Father, touch each one to bring about the infilling of their need, whatever it be, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. For Brother Dan Lee, Brother James Taylor, Kenny Powers, Terry Coates, Mark Pavlik, Amy's husband Tom, Amy and Tom's young son Jacob, Dennis Breed and his wife Tina, Brothers in Christ of Brandenburg, myself, and all of our families, Father. We all have family members that are lost. I pray, Father, for Satan to be kept away from them and the Holy Spirit to work with them, to bring them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help them to walk in thy will and thy way. Help each one of us, Father, to stay strong and to stay standing. Stand firm upon your word. And Father, Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg, Meade County General Baptist Church, and the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay, Pastor Eric and his wife Jackie, and the little full gospel Church of God there at Akron. Father, these churches, make them lighthouses, but also make them a place. Father, make them a place of sanctuary to where the lost can come and find light, and that light being Jesus. Now, Father, for my three friends in Pakistan, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Nishai, Pastor Zephyrin Ivory, keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. For the Johnson family, Father, with this loss of a loved one, Father, give them strength. Help them through this, Father. For Jimmy Emery, Sharon Mombillo and her mother, Sue and David, Palance Goodman, Kelly Smith, and Karen. Father, these all stand in need of a healing touch. Heal them, Father, in a mighty and great way. Holy Spirit, work with them to bring them all into the family of Almighty God. We ask all of this in the sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Remember, God willing, we can all be together again come Sunday morning. So until then, walk with God, He'll walk with you. Have a great few days. Stay in God's Word. Bye-bye now.